What up, though, loved ones? Tis I, your guy, Handsome Bane, the compelling protagonist of Violet Power Claim. And today is a very special episode. I haven't been around for, well, I've been around, but I haven't recorded in a little bit. And this one was kind of weighing heavy on me because it is the special episode celebrating my brother Aaron's 48th birthday. And when he passed in 2011, I never thought that I would have to address my older brother passing away, but here we are, and life is unfortunately full of those kind of curveballs. You know, I recorded a prologue a couple of days ago for what's about to take place on this episode. I'm going to chat for a little bit, and then I'm going to cut to a review of Transformers the movie. But there's a very specific reason for that. Miles Amadeus Prower is on the episode. There's a very specific reason for that as well. But just a little history on people who haven't watched or listened to Isle of Pal for the past couple years. Aaron Day is a special day because Aaron Greenlee is essentially the patron saint of this show. Without him, I have no idea what I would be into, what my interest would be. I feel like a lot of the things that he taught me early on that stuck with me, that still remain with me today, had a hand in really keeping me out of trouble for the most part. I didn't rip and run the streets because I had better stuff to do. And a lot of that better stuff to do came from the example that he had set before. So, you know, he was a conversation guy, but he wasn't a hard conversation guy. He just kind of lived the way he lived, as far as I could tell. And a lot of the way he lived was to just do the right thing. You know, live for family, work hard, honest, except for a little shoplifting. That was kind of, he was a celebrated shoplifter, never been caught. But, you know, it was a thing. yeah, I recorded this before and it was a real bummer. And I'm just glad that I'm in better spirits right now trying to record this. But like I said, he would be 48 years old. The fandoms he put me on, just a quick list, comics, namely She-Hulk and X-Men, both books that he bought religiously, and they would be lying around and I would pick them up and he would yell at me for reading his comics or messing them up if they were just lying around because I was 10 years younger than him. So if he's 17, I'm 7, and I'm picking up the books with peanut butter on my fingers and reading the exploits of She-Hulk and the X-Men. Gaming, just like anybody who had an older brother or sister who played video games, you watched and waited and waited and waited and waited and waited until they finally either beat the game, which, you know, they beat Mario in like 10 minutes, or you finally were able to find a two-player game they'd be willing to play with you. So after the days of waiting on him to traverse the Mushroom Kingdom, we would often get two-player games like Contra and Life Force or Salamander, which was like Contra and Planes for the uninitiated. There was Rampage. I saw the ending of the game Rampage thanks to one Sunday afternoon with Aaron just pummeling buildings and eating people and swatting planes out of the air because, you know, I didn't know that that game had an ending until we beat it. Terminator 2, which was another one of our fandoms that we shared. He took me to see it on a like a pick me up from school, and we walked over to the Northwest. Shout out to the old school, to the old Northwest on Grand River in Detroit. It's like two theaters, metal detectors, shootouts, stale popcorn. Shout out to that. Shout out to that. There was, Terminator 2 was a big one. Have you watched Terminator 2 lately? It still holds up. It's amazing. And we were sitting there in those seats getting our minds, because it didn't seem like a lot of things impressed him, but I can recall just off the top of my head, if it was a movie that I could think of that just blew his entire mind, it was definitely Terminator 2, and rightfully so. Gaming, like I was saying, we beat Terminator 2, the one with the guns. Must have spent like $1 zillion that day at the putt-putt golfing games. Took forever and took a lot of money, but we did it. We beat it. We saved the future with our gun controllers, and we did it. We beat T-1000, and it was an accomplishment. The way he used to play Street Fighter 2, and this was the only game that I recall him doing this with. Maybe not. He would always cross his hands right over left, so he would be playing. He would use the face buttons, the punch and kick buttons, the two rows, three buttons, with his left, and control the joystick with his right. It was the weirdest thing. I think he was saying that he was somewhat ambidextrous, and it was a weird thing, but he was a weird guy, you know. Anime, of course, Fist of the North Star and Dangayo on the same tape. Now, never mind the fact that I had already seen Ronin Warriors and Voltron and Sailor Moon and all that stuff prior to this. These were all dubs, so they kind of didn't count, and I didn't know that they were from Japan because I was a kid. What do I know? And countless other Nickelodeon shows where the animation was super off from the voice acting. But he brought in, you know, he came back from school one year. I want to say I was 12 or 13, so he was 22 or 23, and he popped in Dangayo, and it was cool. Like, it was some really dope voice acting, some action, some animation going on. It was a mech anime, and then Fist of the North Star was just people's heads exploding, and I'm like, what? When did Satan get into the animation business? And, I still watched it, and for the most part, kind of enjoyed it, even though it was like really creeping me out. But it was like that rite. It was one of those rites of passage, you know, as a preteen, teenage kid to watch something uncomfortably in that realm of somebody getting their head squished in a cartoon. But I'm fine. I'm okay. It wasn't, you know, a traumatic experience for the most part. Again, I understood these were cartoons, and that's fine. You should understand. Don't cancel my brother, please. My first Comic-Con, that was the other thing. They had them regularly in Detroit. There was always Motor City, and then Gibraltar Trade Center in Taylor, Michigan, would hold Comic-Cons, but not in the sense that we're used to now. Now it's a big event. Everybody dresses up. There's, you know, men and women. You know, there are all these huge concepts, and everybody goes in on, you know, making sure their costumes are amazing, and they got like two and three costumes for the weekend, and they rent out the hotels and all that. No, these comic book conventions we were going to were comic book conventions, where it was merchants coming from, you know, afar to sell their wares, and that was it. I have X-Men number one, minted in 1963. It cost $300. Give me the money. That was it. Those were the conventions that I came up on in those days. And I mean, admittedly, they're not as fun as they are now. They weren't as fun as they are now. But it was pure, damn it. I don't know. It was kind of dreary, but again, like, we were walking around looking for deals and buying books. You know, that's what we were there for. And, you know, I don't know which way is better. Sometimes I do just want to go and buy books, and I want to buy them cheap, and I don't want to mince with a whole lot of crowd. You know, if you got crowd, that's fine. I don't want to deal with a whole lot of crowd. I want people that are also there on a mission, necks down, eyes focused on flipping through and finding that book that they. Yeah, so I don't know if it was better or if it was worse. All I knew, I was hanging out with Aaron, and that was always a treat for me, because, you know, we'd take mom's car or his car, and just the fact that it wasn't, you know, and this isn't anything against my mom, it's a completely different set of fun when it's you and your brother. Like, we had great times as a family. Like, chilling with my mom was amazing. Chilling with Aaron was amazing in a completely different way, because, you know, we kind of, not that we were terribly terrible children, we could relax just that much more. Like, I don't know. Yeah, we could just be wild boys, you know, as wild as, I don't know, just being loud or whatever. We didn't have to worry about embarrassing my mom when my mom wasn't there, I guess, so to speak, as you know, as unruly as we were going to get. But when it was us together, when he would hit me with the question, "You got money?" it meant like, can you afford your own fun today? And hopefully I did. I would, you know, I'd hold on to a little money from cutting the grass on the weekend, or whatever it was that I did to make a little pocket change as a, you know, someone 10 years younger than you to be able to hang out. Yes, yes, I have money. Yes, let's go. And it usually meant like the arcade or a movie or something like that. So, you know, just a short list of things we saw, man. And, you know, Ghostbusters 2, Batman Returns, the Alien franchise, the Predator franchise, countless late night cheesy movies. What was that one? There was one where I can't even act it out. Never mind. It was hilarious, because if, you know, I were able to talk to him today, I would sing this one stupid cut from this movie that neither of us will ever know the name of. I'll never see it again. It was just one of those. It felt like it was like one of those B movies that network TV or UHF TV was able to get just on the cheap, just to be able to put programming on Saturdays. And yeah, I'll never know what that is, but we used to watch those religiously. So anything that could appear on Mystery Science Theater 3000, and again, that's another one of those things we used to watch together. If I never, you know, if it wasn't for him, I would have no idea what Mystery Science Theater 3000 was. It was just, it's one of those things that we're up super late. I'm trying to hang with him. He just, you know, he came back from school, so he doesn't He's not an early bird at all. And I'm just trying to hang with him and watching Conan O'Brien and Mystery Science Theater and all those kind of things. And just the stupid things that you never think you'll miss are the things that you will miss the most. So if I can, you know, do anything, if I can tell you anything without being a bummer and bringing you down, call your loved ones, man. Call your family members. Just, you know, you don't have to get mushy, but just check in on them, man, and let them know you're thinking about them. Don't feel obligated to love somebody, but if you do, don't be a stranger. And that's all I'm gonna say until the end here. Till next year, more love, trust, and belief. Wait, before I cut out. So today is Friday. Tomorrow is Saturday. This week, to Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, is PAX East. Isla Powell, or the few representatives that we'll have, will be at PAX East tomorrow. If you're listening to this episode when it drops on Friday, we'll be there tomorrow, Saturday. So if you see us, stop us. Take pictures. Let's hang out. Let's talk. You know, we're very approachable people. I don't think I'm better than anybody except for the creeps. So if you're good people, you want to talk to us and you just want to say what's up, we are available for that. I'm just kind of out of sorts right now because I'm thinking about stuff. So, without further ado, here is our review of Transformers the movie with the crotch-grabbingly great Miles Amadeus Prower, my sworn rival and brother in podcasting and, you know, the war against the man. please enjoy this.
Welcome back, hero.
No, because it reloaded.
Anyway, okay.
I'll fix it in post. What up, loved ones? Tis I, your guy, Handsome Bane, the compelling protagonist of Isla Powell Claim. And with me, my, I don't want to say frenemy because that sounds trash and too many people use it, but he is my sworn rival.
I'll take it.
One of us will bury the other on a hill that overlooks the city. When it's all said and done,
just put flowers on my grave once a year.
I have already pledged to reword the lyrics of Conan the Adventurer at his funeral.
Yes,
so, the crotch-grabbingly great Miles Amadeus Prower.
What up, y'all? What's up? It's good to be back, man. It's good to be back. How we doing?
Yeah. You heard him before. We were talking about lunatics on Sesame Street.
Classic.
Yeah, they all got problems, man. But this time, I came to this particular gentleman because he's probably the only one who gets it when it comes to what we're talking about. And that's not to diss anybody else. So, no. He gets it more than the rest of you. I'm not backpedaling.
He's better at this than you. All right. So for this special Aaron's Day episode, we will be reviewing Transformers: The Real Movie, not that Michael boom boom blah boom blah blow crap that we
get it. Travesty.
You want to go ahead and get that out the way, because I want to keep this kind of as positive as possible. We could just get the unpleasantries out the way. I'm going to let you go ahead and trash it, because I think you might have seen more of them than I have.
I've only seen all of the first one and half of the second one. I didn't go any from there. It is a horrible, horrible, horrible thing. It is sad that the original and only Transformers movie I vouch for is light years away from any of the ones Bay has done. It is a travesty, and we've already spent too much time speaking on it as is.
All right, good enough. I remember I saw it, and I was like, oh, these are some pretty cool colors. And that was it. It was like, oh, hey, it's Tyrese and some cool colors and some things moving. All right, that's pretty cool. But
it's cool to see that.
Yeah, movie. Right. Like, I mean, yeah, you know, like, when did the first one come out? 06, maybe? Because I vaguely remember taking my younger brother to see it when he was like 4. And so he had nothing nothing to hold it up against, and was like, oh, these are some cool colors. But you're right. Just to have that ignorance is such a blessing for these guys. But the original Transformers the movie was released on August 8th, 1986. It was by the Toei Animation Studio and Sunbow Films. Also, they wanted to avoid a G rating, so that's why we hear like the word shit uttered twice. And what is
it? Yeah, that blew my mind.
We didn't notice that until we were in college, like until we were in the dorm, and it was like, wait a minute, are my adult years working? And he said shit. Did he say Dane?
Oh yeah, well, they would. It blew me when I knew it was going down. Oh, man's dad was about to die. He's like, oh, shit, bam. I'm like, oh, wow, it's getting real out here, dog.
I was like, dog, they killing humans in this one. Okay.
I was like, this man obviously did not want to die. And my dad was asleep next to me. I'm looking at him like, dude, do you see this crap?
Yeah, that would make sense. Like, he wouldn't be like, oh, geez, Louise. He would, you know, he would blurt out an obscenity as such, worthy of death, of seeing a planet eater coming toward you and eating your little satellite. Yes. Yes, you would swear. So they wanted to avoid a G rating as to not be dumped in with all the Care Bear movies and other crap that that they were deemed that only little children would go see. They wanted to bolster their they wanted older kids to be like, hey, you come see this. And then, you know, to widen their audience, obviously. It was called a 90-minute toy commercial. And to that I say, so. And to that I say, so what? You know, like, that's kind of the dope thing about our 80s stuff is that and I'm saying for me, and I would like to hear what you have to say about it. We got like that perfect balance of creativity and like our own imaginations being able to play out on TV for us. Because when I played with my toys, it was like an episode of the show.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it was theatrics, man. I mean, like, dude, kids today don't know about it. Took a good hour. Sometimes if you had all, like my cousin has like the Destroyers and the from with G.I. Joe and all that stuff. We had G.I. Joe versus Transformers.
Yes.
It'd take a good hour for the setup before you start playing, dog. Easily. It was like straight theatrics. Like, okay, well, I gotta get this and start taking your sister's stuff. Like, your Cobra Commander's making giant
that is
women.
Something he would do so, too. And so, like, just leaning into, you know, it is what it is. And like, I think anytime somebody's like accused of something that's supposed to make them feel shitty and they just lean into it, they're like, no, this is what it is, and this is why it's awesome. Like, the only redeeming quality of a lot of these cartoon to live action movies are like, you know, He-Man, where it was trash, but Skeletor was amazing because he overplayed it. Raul Julia murdered his role as M. Bison while going through chemotherapy for stomach cancer. What a man. That's the manliest thing I've ever heard. We're talking getting chemo, like he did chemo the fight between scenes actors first because he wasn't doing his chemo yet. And then he just acted his brains out while doing the chemo for stomach cancer and putting in a tour de force performance, all because his children really liked Street Fighter. Jesus Christ.
That's powerful stuff, dog. That's some dog. They don't do acting like that no more. That dedication. My man, who was a consummate professional,
given the
man.
Performance of a lifetime because he was about to die, dog. Jesus Christ!
Oh, it was his performance of a lifetime.
All right. So we had Peter Cullen as Optimus Prime, of course. The other immortal, Frank Welker as Megatron. Leonard Nimoy as Galvatron. Orson Welles. Oh, Orson Welles' final role as Unicron. Judd Nelson as Rodimus Prime in the most on-brand performance of probably Judd Nelson's career. Christopher Collins, of course. Everybody on here is incomparable. Christopher Collins as Starscream.
Incomparable.
His throat had to be killing him by the end of everything, every shoot that he ever did. We had John Micro Machines Guy Machida as Blur. And of course, the first cross-grabbingly great Scatman Crothers as Jazz, who was murdered. Fucking murdered, bro.
Murder.
And so did you know the reasoning behind killing so many of the characters?
Yeah. It was for toys, wasn't it? Like, they wanted to stop selling all, because it makes sense when you look at people. Like, back in the day, it was like, even with, like you said, with Ninja Turtles, you had Megatron kids and you had Optimus Prime kids, you had all the other, and everybody pretty much stayed to themselves. And people like me, like, I had like three or four Megatrons. It was like, you want Optimus Prime? Only for Megatron to fight. That's all I need, you know. So, like, you look at us to this day, we still on the same stuff. They had to kill them
off. It's crazy because Optimus Megatron had to go through so many changes because, you know, once you transformed him into a gun with a bump stock, logistically, it didn't make sense because he was transforming into a gun that was being held by his contemporaries. And it was like, least trustworthy Starscream.
Yeah, the least trustworthy nigga in the crew.
I'm going to turn into a gun and they'll fire me. Like, I don't even know if Starscream hated Optimus Prime more than he hated Megatron. He hated Megatron so much. And so I don't know. You want to try to run down, or wait, which one of us saw the movie more recently? Because we can just kind of.
I can pretty much close my
eyes and watch it.
Mm-hmm. It was a while ago. So but I think
they start off on the the satellite.
The whole beginning, the back of my hand, like that shit is
obscenity. There's Unicron. The introduction of Unicron is like, whoa, what the heck? So we get Unicron, and some people die that we were to care about. I don't know if they thought, like, you know, it was like, yeah, these guys will be first. they couldn't have just given us some unimportant, like, you know, some uninhabited, or I mean, not even uninhabited, some, you know, just like some random made up alien robot somewhere else that we didn't care about. They took Jazz immediately. And it was like, yo, but Scatman Crothers still got a check. And so we're done with that. So then we go to Earth. And there is a all this time I did not understand. I don't know if they were on Earth or not with the Autobot base. Anyway, yeah, let's assume it's the, you know, Autobot base on Earth. Everybody's chilling, and then all of a sudden, the completely unrelated to Unicron, Decepticons come down and try to kill a bunch of our Autobots on the Autobot base. Prime isn't there yet for some reason. Of course not. All right, you ain't gonna. Nah, they ain't coming with Big Daddy home.
Of course, the show for that nigga's not there.
So they come down. They do a random attack, and they get behind their base.
You know, throwing the castles past.
It felt like where, like, you know, it actually the sun had gone down, come back up by the time the real fight. Yeah, almost felt like at least a night, and it was the rockets.
Fortnite, if you will.
All that was going off. And finally, they stop, and one of my favorite lines, and I'll be doing my favorite lines throughout, "For the fences are broken! Let the
slaughter ever
begin!"
Ever.
Frank Walker, man.
Let the slaughter begin!
For him to only have been in this movie for about 10 minutes. Just, he earned every penny.
He establishes his character 100% in that one line, dog.
And it was like, fam, is this a show for kids, dog? Like, I should know that sentence. And,
he defined to me. I was born in 83, dog. So that did, when my dad took me to movie, he defined in my mind.
Bigger and badder than Megatron, honestly. Like, he was nasty. No, let the story begin. Like, there was a female out there. We're not taking Autobot in there. He was going to kill her, too.
No.
Like, Jesus. So, anyway, we get all that. And then Big Daddy comes home, Optimus Prime. We get some Stan Fish, who we're going to get to later on, the Touch, and then another line. Peter Cullen comes in. Oh, he earns his money. One show stand. No, Megatron must be stopped. Megatron must be stopped, no matter the costs. Pulls up on Megatron. He came out like the Touch plays. What an amazing ballad, power ballad. Stan Bush gave us two power ballads, and
that had to come in a dream, dog.
Fam, you're gonna get all the generation Y.
That song is powerful. If I ran for president, that's the song I would use, dog. The Touch.
Like, yeah, all right, here you go. So, all right, we get Prime. He comes in. He is taking out Decepticons left and right.
Yeah.
Three shots. He does a triple axel in the air. He hit a couple. Like, just hit a couple as a
all shots to the face, dog.
You can just do that. It's like, instead of killing them.
Yeah,
he pops up, drops the hitch, pops
in addition up, to killing flip, them with his ass,
shoots at least two or three of them in the chest and face. I'm like, dog, this is really violent for robots, but no, no matter the cost. I'm not just talking about me; I'm talking about them too.
He was not trying to wound anybody.
Dog, kill these guys off. They just said, I don't know if you heard him, but they just said, "Let the slaughter begin." And they're trying to
slaughter. Yeah.
So, Murder you. That was my favorite.
That's why I love Optimus. Like, I he was like, so lame, but dog, know, he would murder you if he had to.
Straight laced, goody two shoes, good guys too. As much as I am to like nefarious villains, but when there is a guy who's like, okay, this is a war, and unfortunately, people, places, and things have to die. So I would rather it be you instead of me trying to use non-lethal force. You're not gonna give me the same luxury. So. No, I'm going to kill you so I don't have to worry about you later.
Nah, he's putting him down.
No. I'm gonna sleep like a baby.
With no remorse or compassion, so just like he putting a rabid dog down.
Megatron Optimus Prime fight. I'm gonna let you to handle that one because it was like we saw that and we looked at each other and was like, okay, that's what our relationship is.
Oh man. That oh yeah, ultimately one show. Just the level of my man said I would have waited an eternity for this.
Cause he with the gravelly
dog, all of those
there was no
they cut a promo dog that was essentially like a promo
his voice that was all him. I would have waited an eternity for this. It was like, man, so good.
I loved it because it was no secret that one of them had to go. It was no talking. They met up, one shall stand, one shall fall. Why would you throw your life away so recklessly? That's the question you must ask yourself. Then it went down. It was like the illest thing ever. You know what I'm saying? And it was like, just from that, when I seen that as a kid, and I remember watching that, like, dog, you know, most cartoon shows and stuff, you see, they was fighting. I'm like, dog, this man is trying to kill him. He's trying to take this dude.
It's like his whole squad. Well, Cup, you know, was like a vet anyway, and so he was such a vet. And when we see the light sparkle off of the gun, and he's like, "Whoa!"
Yeah, oh, he was so a vet, dog. He was so a vet.
So he picks it up, and he just the way he points it at him,
it was the right choice. It was the right choice. Just
play. Like splice in the footage of Prime just pointing the gun.
Oh yeah, yeah. That whole it was ill to me when I went back and watched it. How Megatron wounded him and kept going back to hit that same wound, and I'm like, no, they're not playing.
They did such an amazing job of like putting weight on it and making it feel like, you know, because it was super important, and it was still like the first 15-20 minutes of the movie. So it just kind of let us know where we were going from there, because it's like you have this amazing conflict, this final confrontation between these bitter sworn enemies. They fought to the death, like their eventual deaths.
It was going down, and then just that whole part prepared me later in life for when Mufasa died. Nobody ever died in cartoons to that point. So like, I'm like, dog, I just knew something was gonna happen. You know, and I didn't like Optimus Prime, but I'm like, I respect him. I need him for Megatron to fight. So I need him to bounce back.
It's just like, wait, what? And Aaron was right there. And I like looked at him like,
oh, man.
Bro, what? And he was like, yeah, because he didn't show a lot of emotion or anything really. And I was like, one of the things he was like, it wasn't like it was like going to keep him up at night, but he did look to me like, yo, So this is death. Bro.
Yeah.
All the color drained from him. I'm like, but it's paint. He's like, no, that's not paint.
Yeah. It didn't his head turned to the side. Then all the color drained from his body, dog.
All right, so killed off pretty much the old. I don't think anybody else went after that.
Symbolism for his soul.
Matrix of Leadership. Unicron sees it because apparently he can see everything. They didn't tell us anything about Unicron. It was like, hey, here's a new really big toy. Buy it. And he can see everything. And he's only... Yep, he's planets, and he's only allergic to the Matrix of Leadership. That's it.
Pretty much.
I want to get to the animation.
This is what he does.
The rebirth of... Well, okay, well, Megatron goes on the Astro Train. Astro Train says, lighten my load here, please. I start kicking people off. Starscream, of course. Please take us through Starscream, because that is all you.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Yeah. Before I get to set up Starscream, dog, let me talk about my man Soundwave. If you want a number two, a man of short words who got your back. When they was like, hey, they was like, Destructicons, we're going to run. My man was like, Soundwave is superior, Destructicons inferior. That was his whole argument. Then they scrapped. My man, he picked up Megatron. They was going to leave him. My man, he was like, oh, my most trusted ally. He didn't fall through at all. But anyway, right. Back to my man Starscream, dog. Starscream, and this is another thing I learned as a lesson in life, if you're going to take the spot, know what the hell you going to do once you get it. My man Starscream got the spot and had no plan for nothing.
Right.
And that was it. The fact that he had no plan past that proved that he shouldn't have had it. But just wanted another great...
Before we do that...
My man said, back to Megatron, is that you? He said, who did destroy this? This is my coronation. Coronation, I call this was bad comedy.
No, it was before that. No, what did he say before he kicked him? Well, no, what did he say before? Yeah. Give it his ribs.
This is it. Oh, yeah. I still function.
He kicked him so hard.
Mighty Megatron. And kicked him again.
Like, when Megatron says I waited an eternity for this, hey, Starscream waited 2 eternities. Because that kick was so satisfying. Put the stake on that jump. Damn. Bro, he has no remorse, dog. Bro. He kicked him so hard. I like no, that
you
part.
Can tell he had
to. I still function. And they just threw him into the vacuum of space. Like, that.
I still
function. That animation of him throwing him out and then his body just.
Oh, no.
Because he was flying out of a speeding astral.
He wasn't even like.
So, he throws him and his body just space. Goes off.
He knew
the
he wasn't coming
like,
back.
That's the exact way he would have wanted to do it.
Yeah.
And so, okay, so he cast him out, and then Megatron meets Unicron, and in one of the most beautiful, like it's a masterclass of animation. In the sense of once he gets reborn into Galvatron from Unicron's design, he takes him and pretty much breaks him down, and just the
so great
the blueprint of the inside of Megatron, and then how they smooth it over. It's like this came out in 86. So then when I saw things, for me, like when I see Transformers Rescue Squad or whatever, and I'm like, no.
So sick.
I'm never going to. Why would you? Anyway, the animations. Right. Yeah. Somebody drew that. So nah. It was so beautifully done on like just these geometric figures.
And did just more like with
essentially
less.
What was lines and no color. Just like the breaking down.
Straight up.
And then, you know, again, we got those grids to where it was like, this just looks amazing. This is, like I said, a masterclass in just how to draw your stuff and make it look good. Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. It's kicking a lot of things asses from today. Like, that's why I'm like, these guys could do this back then, like,
even by today's standards.
I'm assuming there was no computers or not that many, or they probably had one gigantic computer that it was like, you know, it's probably easier if we use our hand and draw. But it's like, especially by today's standards, it was just amazing. And then comes back the coronation ceremony, which apparently was all. Like, where did you get a crown and a cape, all that from? They hadn't left Astro Train yet. Bro.
Why did he even
need the cape? Starscream is all about just bravado.
I just think of David Ruffin and standing on the top.
Like, he had nothing. You know, like, all right, now what we're going to do is go back.
Look at that.
He never did. Right. And that was the other thing is that I don't know anybody who wanted him on that spot. And so, like, how he got it.
He didn't have no better plans. He wasn't like, they zigged. I said, we should have zagged. And he just wanted the spot. That was it.
Play music for him as he. It's so ridiculous and over the top. And just one of those things you just got to chalk up, I guess. But and he did. They wanted to introduce Galvatron. So he comes back with his sweeps and everybody else. So he had like an entire, like, new squad.
Oh, man. He got what he had coming, dog.
He came. Like, everybody was purple. Like, he comes back with a brand new squad. Everybody's just kind of like, what's this name? And he comes
He did come back with new click, better than his old click.
But a cannon now, a laser cannon with a tripod, and doesn't just like blow Starscream away. He hits him and turns him into dust. Then, like, steps on the crown, like, doesn't even like stomp on it. And, like, he just walks over it, and like, it's such a flex. Where else are we? Okay, so the after that battle, the Autobots have to
the ultimate flex mode,
pretty much. Wait, did they land? No. They hadn't left yet. Galvatron goes back and attacks them, looking for the Matrix of Leadership, because he was instructed by Galvatron to take it. Oh, wait, that was another line that Orson Welles. I know Orson Welles was just reading these lines like, what? All right. But there was a part. Right, exactly. I'm getting old. Just skip this. Yeah. Yes, I have. Dog, so good.
Like, what the fuck are the check clears? Okay.
He could say anything.
Dude, have you seen his Parmesan commercial? Comedy gold.
It felt like he thought everybody was amateur hour. I would have loved to see who he liked.
He was so above everybody, like, all the time. The
best thing about him. Alien toys.
That's why I love him, dog. He was just
That's
like
a thing now.
Oh man.
Okay.
That's a thing now.
Well,
check out his thing on Netflix called The Other Side of the Wind. He was doing a movie.
I think he had to be.
That was about. It was like a movie with a movie.
Yeah,
within
like,
it.
I wouldn't even
it was crazy, man. Right. But yeah, he dude was ill, though.
Yeah.
For real.
Jesus.
Oh, you know he was super racist.
He like walks and pushes like, you out the way.
He probably, yeah.
Covers his face with a handkerchief.
Racist. Call you something like a moon cricket.
Smells like a moon cricket.
You filthy moon crickets. Get from around. Get from my side.
Sound like the brain to you? but yeah, to get back to everything, there's a line where
on the low, for those who don't know,
he as
so many people are like, hey, Orson Welles sounds like the brain. The other way around,
die, or I can remake you. But he's like, Megatron serves no one, your bargaining posture is rather dubious. Perhaps I was wrong about you. Fade into oblivion, and he just like goes, kills like, dog, Orson Welles had to read. No, say that one again, because I love. Right.
He was like, it's just funny because my dad, old man, was. Of course, he used that as a narrative. Something is always greater than you, boy. Remember that. And it really stuck. I was like, dog, if he's sending Megatron, God is real out here, dog. At first, he was like, I'm going to die. Fuck it. Then die. Like, oh, snap. Death hurts. Death hurts. Stop. Stop. I'll do it. Ow. Jesus Christ.
Oh, man. I was the other part. The Matrix of Leadership. Oh, no. It's like a. Oh, I was laughing so hard. I forgot.
And this is after a fight, a battle to the death with his arch enemy.
You exaggerate. But, so now we got to. So they go back, attack him. They shoot up Ultra Magnus. I'm just remembering everything. And then so they.
Good job.
The Autobots split up and go two different ways or whatever. Somebody chases down one, somebody chases down the other, because, you know, Galvatron's got sweeps now. He has a gang within his gang called the Sweeps. And his huntsman, yeah, it was the Tracker and the Huntsman. And his huntsman, the Sweeps. So he has a crew with a dude who has a crew.
Of course.
His larger crew of the Decepticons.
All right, he didn't sell out, he bought in.
Yeah, he got a squad. So blah 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 blah, Ultra Magnus gets shot up, and the Matrix of Leadership gets taken away, but they're on a junk planet where people
can just, was like, Wu-Tang.
Know, what do you call the things can just put him back together, so they do, they just rebuild him, which in that case, where is Optimus? And can you guys do that for this? Maybe, you know, just see what you can do. I guess some spark plug or something.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if not, you know, it's no biggie. We had already accepted that. But, you know, if you can, that'd be awesome for us to have a really strong leader in this situation. Was it Cup? And Cup the...
Yeah, just try something.
Cup, Rodimus... And the Dinobots get shipped off to I thought it was another junk planet, but it was actually the planet with the Tribunal. That was really scary, dude. They meet a little guy. The Dinobots do anyway. Friend, find, look behind. It's really weird.
Gave me nightmares forever.
He runs afoul of Grimlock for a second, and then they get cool. I guess Grimlock admired that the kid had balls.
Oh, I remember that one? Yeah,
that's all they were. Yeah.
Grimlock was a cool dog.
It happened today. He was like, "Me, Grimlock, no runaway." Grimlock.
Only like one of my earliest memories of Grimlock. Right. I just remember him whooping somebody's ass for trying to put him on a plane.
It was about that. Like, all, he was
like, Dinobots don't fly. Come on. He was like, get off me, bitch. Man.
Yeah, no, there was. This is a war. This is a war. I'm a Tyrannosaurus robot.
He was about that life.
I want to kill. Me bash brains. So, yeah. Yeah, so they were shooting up goals, Galvatron and them shoot up Ultra Magnus, who is pretty much like a not good Robb Stark at this point. He really hasn't accepted the role of leadership. Prime gave it to him to hold on to for a minute. But he didn't really have any plans. So I guess, again, we're talking about taking over leadership and not really knowing what to do with it. With Starscream, same thing happened on the good guy side. And, yeah. Isn't that crazy? Like, yeah, that's... He got a literal battlefield promotion. Yeah. And, he really got a battlefield promotion.
Why does Cap
even want it? And it showed. So
niggas had no plan B. Then Prime didn't trade him. He was just like, "You're up next. So win whenever the time comes. You're up
the
next."
The nightmare fuel of the three changing faces.
Yeah, literally
guilty or innocent. And it really didn't matter what you said. They were going to throw you into a pit of. Man-sized robotic piranhas, and that was it. And so they do the same thing with Cup and Rodimus Prime, who, you know, surprise, surprise, fight their way out of it.
That was your ass.
Warriors, because Cup is a vet. I was just about to say he had bags under his robot face eyes, which was just crazy to me. He was
talking like they did backstory on him, dog. When did he look new? That's what I
was. It I think it was Rodimus who. You know, the thing has super jagged teeth.
He probably was the dude running it before Optimus on the line.
Shatters it and it falls. I'm like, dog, these niggas are gangsters, dog. Like,
I remember watching that shit with them. My dad, low key, he started the one of the many times nigga would drop seeds in my mind that would make the fuck shit up.
Right.
He was like, dog, all right, I get the machines. Who's making robot fish? For what purpose? And when he said that, that thought had never crossed my mind. He was like, that was the point. He couldn't shut up. He had to speak up. Robot T-Rex turns into a caveman. I can believe that shit. Robot fish? Nah, son. Nah, you ain't questioning none of this, boy? Like, dad, this is the illest thing I've ever seen in my life. I'm not questioning anything right now.
Why is the AI psychotic?
Yeah. He couldn't leave it alone. He just had to say something at that point. It's like, dog, I can see a planet that turned that's a living planet. Okay, fine, but robot fish that eat other robots for what purpose?
But go ahead and finishing it up. Anyway, Galvatron gets a hold of the nation.
I was like,
so they have to go after it.
He was like, as you know, somebody had to make him at some point. I'm like, dang, dad, Galvatron making this too real for me right now, dog.
If this guy is allergic to this thing, to the mentions of leadership, I can use it to bend him to my will because I'm still Megatron in here and Megatron works for no one. He goes up. He's like, yeah, so this Matrix of Leadership thing, right? I got it now, baby. And, it doesn't
work. Hello.
He does not have the touch. And so Rodimus and the gang catch up to him. They have a fight inside of Galvatron's leg, I'm assuming, because there are some people who are about to be digested by Galvatron, and apparently that takes 6 to 8 weeks to happen. There's a lot of red tape. And lo and behold, we find a couple of the characters who were supposed to be killed early in the film, namely the human being, Spike, was supposed to... he was hanging up in the thing, and he was like on the conveyor belt thing or whatever. It's like, oh, they didn't kill a flesh and blood human being. Sweet. so we find him. He reunites with his son. And there was,
it's all coming back.
Rodimus gets his hand. Hot Rod gets his hand on the Matrix of Leadership, and he was Jon Snow, Azor Ahai the whole time. So he takes it. You got the touch, Stan lets it blare. He takes the Matrix. He opens it. A big light comes out, starts blowing everything to shit, and. Well, that's pretty much it. And Galvatron flies off on like a, you know, ketchup bottle and shakes his fist. Angrily shakes his fist at Rodimus Prime now, because you know the Matrix can make metal grow, and that's sweet. I'll take it. It's not robot fish.
Angrily.
It's not robot fish. So, you know, that's cool. They stand around and they pat themselves on the back and they say, hey, good job. And they end the film with a weird Till All Are One chant. And the goal is to eventually reunite with the Decepticons.
Yeah, no means because it's robot fish.
There is still a very bitter war going on. Exactly.
Yeah, nigga, we'll be in the Matrix together. But for right now, I don't like that nigga over there.
Yeah, you let Optimus do it every night on the other side.
What is this? Hey.
Yeah, I don't play that stuff. I'm like,
because he also had that side where like, he's like, hey, I know listen, we were going to talk about the baby,
but that stuff, he was going around the house. I'm like, dog, that's whack. Why? Optimus would have knocked on the door. He'd have been like, man, excuse me, you have something I need. I need the Matrix and blah, blah. Like, Optimus, stand up guy. That's why, like, even though I thought he was lame, I had to respect him.
The right to freedom or something like that. I don't even feel like I'm sitting right here. And, freedom is a right of all sentient beings. That's what he said. Absolutely.
He's the man.
He's not just talking. Like, he's like
back when they made good guys like him and Monkey. I'm like, oh, I can't stand them. Like the bad guys because they got better faces, better outfits, and stuff. Dang, this is some stand up guys, man.
So, right, and
that's like a Jesus quote.
This film is 33 years old.
All sentient beings, dog.
Yeah. Like, I remember, like, a couple of years ago, it was like the 30th anniversary. And then even time has flashed from that point. And
be free.
It's kind of riff a little bit about how, you know, effect on you and kind of your outlook on media and life. You know? Shout out to Kafka. Right.
Oh, it's just the bar is high and it's funny because it reminded me of Kafka, because I remember I always
it did have some
weight. And like how was it Yeah, shout out to my man Kafka. So I'd be doing stuff. I'm like, well, I'll get this. And he'd always be like, Maps, nah. But just, nah. You sure just trust me, dog. It's not worth it, man. And it's like so much of the stuff, like it's just, I don't know, just the plot and everything from that whole movie. It just had everything. You felt like shit was on the line. And it was, it had weight to it. It wasn't like, oh, here's a little tough fluff piece. It was like, no, it's going down. Things is happening. Things have changed. People have lost. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, man, it set the bar so high for me at such a young
man. People cried.
And it's like, you look at that stuff now. That's back when they used to do the animation was hand drawn. Like I was looking at this Akira, one of the test drawings they did for the animation, just to see and just how fluid. It was just him driving down the street for like a couple frames, but just how fluid that crap was.
And you brushed your teeth and drank orange juice on that one.
It's literally bringing art to life. It is literally bringing art to life. You know what I'm saying? And it's just crazy. And like just looking at that, and I messed myself up before I went to see the first remake. I watched that right before it. And I'm thinking afterwards, I was like, dang, I shot myself in the foot there, didn't I? Yeah, I definitely did. But it's just even with like how just our whole generation, man, I could literally go out somewhere. And if I have people hear me, I guarantee if I say, what's your stand? What's your fault? Nigga, Teen Titans go. The episode with Night Begins to Shine. Nigga, me and my kids are watching that. I am crying laughing. Yeah. Cyborg. No, call me Cyborgamus Prime. And I'm like, dog, this is just bananas, you know? And of course, you show it to your kids now, and they're like, nigga, this is nothing. They'd rather see CGI. And I'm like, do you understand how great this junk is? Like you would say, just even the blueprint. This junk is crazy. Or even when they had one of the scenes when the ship went past. Which,
again, in space. For me, I didn't mind that
And it was like, dog, it's like you were saying, they may have known they were trying to sell us toys and stuff. And a lot of the stuff for our generation cartoon, I went back and watched Silver Hawks, man. And I realized how much of that was just basically selling toys.
Like a rubric.
Obviously selling toys.
How fun you could make playing with your toys were, because I enjoyed watching those episodes. So it was like, it was pretty much like watching someone play with the toys on the commercial. So I didn't hate that at all. Right, the little comics that used to come with that stuff. Real quick before we go, just Stan Bush.
And it gave you something to play. It gave you ideas. And like here's a dope toy, do something. No, this nigga has a backstory. Check this out.
There's no way that movie would be the same without him. Like everything about this movie just leans into whatever the cheese of it would be. It's still like, but check it out. That's what makes this really amazing. And Stan Bush, The Touch, and Stan Bush Dare. Somebody was having a really rough time, and I just quoted lyrics from Dare, and it's like dog, for real, that's some good ass advice, dog. And I'm like, I was like, full disclosure, I am just quoting Stan Bush from Dare here. Listen to this. Hopefully it picks you up. And but it did, because it's an amazing song. Those are two amazing songs. Just
word for word.
Yeah, so we should look into that. But yeah, just like even the old cheesy, like the
I wonder, did the song come first, or did he write it after watching the movie, or did it just describe something and he made it? It needs to be a documentary about this.
Sam Bush looked exactly as you would expect him to back then. Like whatever you have in your mind about the way Sam Bush looks, look up The Touch, and you'll be like that. Yeah, like that, exactly like that.
He looks like when he was there, like old my man, Doctor Strange. You look like a Thanos. You look like a Stan Bush.
Just like one of those. This, among other things, is just one of the things that I just tied to the memory of Aaron. And just, you know, hanging out with him, but also to take that later on, like, from what I remember as a child, just like you remember as a child watching with your pops talking about Robot Fish, I also take that other memory, like the, my second or third or fourth watch through as an adult with you guys in the dorm, and that's just as important to where it was like first noticing, like I remember like noticing the swears as we sat on Branson's couch. That was also the couch that he dislocated his knee stealing from the basement in Acres. It's like, oh God, yeah. Good. I was like, all right.
Oh, good times. Yo, got goods, nigga. Oh, that's a podcast in itself. I remember he was like, dog, Miles. I'm like, what? Greedy niggas get caught. It was like a crime heist movie. He the one who didn't want to be there. Fuck, you know, I'll watch the door, but just get what you need. Greedy people get caught.
That was when I first met you. Like, nigga,
one more sofa. You don't need one more sofa.
Because I was working night reset, and I had to call 911 to come pick him up. And he's in the elevator.
He says,
what? Do they know I'm black? Jesus, what takes so long? I was like, fam. And he was in the elevator, dog. We just had the elevator stopped. I'm like, I'm not even going to move him, dog.
I remember that shit. Oh, that was so funny. Because they was mad because everyone was all messed up and they was mad. I had to be like the voice of reason. And I was like, that's when Kafka was freaking out. And I'm like, listen, we already lost the man. We can't undo what the fuck is done with him. Take that sofa upstairs. Don't make his lungs be in vain. I'm like, don't let his lungs be in vain. He can't move. He's right here. Let's just worry about this. Oh, man. And like, it's heartless. Give him something to sit on when he get back, okay? So...
Take the beach.
It's like, if I got my leg because we took the beach, take the beach. Don't let my leg. I forgot about that.
But yeah, but I was sitting on that couch watching Transformers with y'all when I noticed that they were saying shit.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, wait a minute, what? The one show stand, one show. No one would follow an uncharismatic bore like Soundwave. Nobody calls Soundwave uncharismatic. Fam. That was his man's. Rumble wasn't having that.
That was his homie, dog. Oh, he wasn't having that. Dog, good time. That's what you peed me to the lyrics from The Touch. Man. Even now and then, I still bust out laughing thinking about that when that nigga sounded like he was describing the Messiah.
You know how ill that when is.
It was breaking.
You got the heart.
Right
got
the touch. Eye of the storm.
You got the pop. Every time I see that gif of
Gandalf sunrise on third day.
Draymond Green talking to Kevin Durant, where he's like I imagine him saying, you got the touch, you got the power. When all hell's breaking loose, you be right now in the storm. You got the heart. You got touch. The I was like, that's what I'm saying.
Right? That would gas me up so much.
I hate to end it, but I gotta get up. Super early in the morning and wake up Jesus. So be very tight that the small dawn's back. That's when I gotta wake up. Trap stamp of the dawn's
back. With a trap right below the trap stamp. Jeez.
Thank you for doing this show with me, bro. It's super
good time.
And I'll be
I'm honored to be here. Thank you, man.
Fresh pretty soon. If you want to just go ahead and drop some info on that as well.
Oh yeah, podcast. Yeah, a podcast called Fresh. Something we're working on. It's just basically, you know, just a whole bunch of blur comic book stuff. Our first episode, we talked about Next Wave. We pitched that, and also we pitch a lot of movies and stuff for like the next Marvel phase. The first episode, me and my man Tony Stank, aka Killing Khan. We pitched like 5 of them. Part 1 is out now. Part 2 will be coming out soon. Of course, my man Hanson Bane's going to be on one. I don't know what we're going to talk about. So, yeah, right, what's that? The Netflix show. What's that? Love.
That's a, you know, that's one. We're definitely going to touch.
We definitely might touch on that.
But, until then, folks, love, trust, and belief. I see you later. Peace.
Peace out.
This is the elevator music for the gateway to heaven. I made it in a spaceship that take 87. Chillin' watching holograms of lucky number 11. You can Kansas City shuffle just for fucking with my brethren. From the ghetto to living life like George Jetson. But of course with more sex and more flexing, I'm more or less obsessed with the prospect of killing time altogether just as a concept.